It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. It is Wednesday, and that means it is Wednesday at Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations: Lone Tree, Loveland, Aurora, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. And for dine-in and to-go, you buy 20 wings, you get 10 for free. So just wanted to make sure that there was something good going on out there. And welcome to the show. I'm Kim Munson. Lauren Levy, who is a mortgage specialist with Polygon Financial Group and one of my great partners, is in studio. Great to have you here, Lauren.
Thanks. Great to be back.
And there's a lot happening, so we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, today's a big day.
For sure. And thank you to each of you for listening. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose. Today, strive for excellence, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body, and continue to nurture that independent mind of yours. I'd like to say thank you to the team, producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, for all of your support and good work. And happy Wednesday to you, producer Steve.
Yes, it's going to be a day.
It is going to be a day, that's for sure. It's inauguration day.
There's no denying it's going to be a day.
It's going to be a day. I was actually at the inauguration 4 years ago, and it was amazing. It was a sea of people from all over America. I was standing next to a farmer from Central California who had brought his son to see the inauguration. It's going to be a lot different. Looks a little bit more like a I won't fill in the blank. You guys can go ahead and think about that yourself. So, but be sure and check out our website. That's kimmunson.com, and that's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I realize I need to slow it down just a little bit. I feel like we have so much to talk about. So, Lauren Levy.
Take a breath.
I'm going to take a breath, and I'm going to slow it down just a little bit. But you're a partner of both the Kim Munson Show and also America's Veteran Stories. And we brought America's Veteran Stories over to KLZ beginning of the year, and really appreciate your partnership on both of those.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. It's a good message what you're putting out here, and then with the veterans, it's always awesome to try to help them with anything that we can do. And on the lending side, the VA loan program is just awesome for people.
And home ownership is a way that people can create wealth. We have Karen Levine on regularly as well. People can create wealth, and we were talking to Jason McBride yesterday about, as we're looking into the future, printing all this money, very possibly we're going to have some inflation. And one thing to lock in an interest rate for a low interest rate, know what those costs are. I know that there's still opportunity in that.
There is. And, you know, everyone wonders how long this opportunity is going to last. And it's lasted for a long time. There's a lot of talk of where rates might be going. They crept up ever so slightly last week. Not too bad. The opportunity is still there. But we know that on the horizon is probably a pretty large stimulus package coming out of the first several days of the new administration. And so what effect will that have on inflation and rates is to be seen, but it might push them a little higher.
If people contact you, can they lock in one of these low rates right now as they're going through the process?
Absolutely. That's the first thing we try to do is take an application, see if the they can be helped and if it's worthwhile for them. And then if it is, we lock them in right away. And that rate is usually locked for about 60 days so that they're safe, we can get it done.
Okay. Well, don't tarry. Don't procrastinate. If you have done that, Lauren, I have your phone number memorized. It's 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881, and it's great to have you in studio.
Thank you.
And my friends, we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. So as we see these policies that are coming out, we have to ask ourselves, is it freedom or is it force? And socialism ultimately comes down to force. And as independent thinkers, independent minds, you have to realize that if something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force somebody to do it, Steve. It should be able to pass the muster in the battle of ideas.
Simple idea, simple concept, but it certainly has been taken a beating in the last, in this millennia so far, right here in this state.
It really has. And this this progressivism that we've seen, and it's not really progressing to more independence and more rights for the individual. This progressivism that started with Woodrow Wilson in, 1910s, it's been a little over 100 years. We've seen that this continual march and progressivism goes back to, instead of people governing themselves, that in fact there is a, as Bill Federer said, a king, a dictator, a czar, a pharaoh, and that they actually govern, an elite governs. And the American idea was that each of us are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And that is an idea that I think regular people can unify around. It's a great idea, Lauren Levy.
Absolutely. I mean, I agree 100%.
I think there's a definition of terms. We all know what a king and a pharaoh is. It's like, okay, yeah, we moved away from that, or, in the evolution or the concept of our government. But oligarchy seems to have kind of overshadowed those terms.
And oligarchy, isn't that basically kind of corporate control? Is that right?
Well, it's the elites. Let's put it that way. I mean, I think you could put an equal sign between oligarchy and elites.
Okay. Well, I think you're going to find this quote, and we've actually used this from Lincoln before, but I thought it was very appropriate. And Abraham Lincoln was an American statesman and lawyer who served as the 16th president of the United States from 1861 until his assassination in 1865. He led the nation through the American Civil War, which at the time was the greatest moral, constitutional, political crisis before now. And this is what he said. I see in the near future a crisis approaching that unnerves me and causes me to tremble for the safety of my country. Corporations have been enthroned, and an era of corruption in high places will follow, and the money power of the country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudices of the people until all wealth is aggregated in a few hands and the republic is destroyed. That was Abraham Lincoln. Can you believe that, Producer Steve?
Wow. Again, how many quotes do you bring to this show every day that were uttered, 100 years ago or more, and yet are so applicable?
Well, and I find it really interesting, working upon the prejudices of the people. And I cannot tell you how many people voted against Trump, not really for Biden. And this, I was very shocked. I had two women that have been in my life for many, many years. And they looked me straight in the eye and they said, "I hate this man." And I was like, I was just a little shocked. And then I realized, working upon the prejudices of the people. And I know that there are many people that said, "I just could not vote for the man." And they looked at him from maybe previous behavior or whatever. But somebody said to me, they said, "Look at his children. He is so wealthy that it's surprising that his kids weren't out there wrecking Ferraris and not leading a productive life." And you look at his children, and it is a very interesting legacy, because they're all contributing people to their lives. Any comments on that, Lauren?
No, we were talking off the air. I had a similar situation in my life amongst family, and because I'm from the Northeast, and I had people tell me they just couldn't vote for the man. And I tried to explain to them that you need to look beyond that and beyond the policies and the platform and what they've done and accomplished, business wise, tax wise, everything wise, and take a look at it. And that's who you should vote for. Not just what the man has done, or your thoughts on his personality or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And one of my friends, Christy Whaley, said, ignorance is bliss until it isn't. And I did print off Trump's accomplishments. It's 50 pages. And what it has done for everyday American people is astonishing. But the first thing he said, there was an unprecedented economic boom. It says, before the China virus invaded our shores, we built the world's most prosperous economy. America gained 7 million new jobs. Middle-class families' income increased $6,000. The unemployment rate reached 3.5%, the lowest in half a century. They achieved 40 months in a row of more job openings than job hirings. More Americans reported being employed than ever before, nearly 160 million. Jobless claims hit a nearly 50-year low. The number of people claiming unemployment insurance as a share of the population hit its lowest on record. And incomes rose in every single metro area in the United States for the first time in nearly three decades. That is pretty amazing. And Steve, when you and I were doing our pre-call on my way in, we realized the economy is something that you really can't have political freedom if you don't have economic freedom. Maggie Thatcher said that. And we'll be talking with Tom Petrie. This is our Health and Hydrocarbons show, and hydrocarbons have made our lives better. And here I'm going a whole bunch of different ways, made me think of something else that you said, Steve. But Justin Trudeau, who has been a big proponent of climate change policies, now that it looks like the Keystone Pipeline may be under siege and it may be difficult to get Canadian oil down to Texas, all of a sudden Justin Trudeau realizes that that could affect the economy of Canada and the economy, personal economy of Canadians, and all of a sudden he wants to chat with Biden about that. I find that just really interesting, Steve.
Well, it all comes down to money, whatever the Canadian currency is. I guess we ought to maybe find five or six indicators to watch in the next 3 months or so. Since Lauren's here, it could be interest rates, or it could be see what the stock market's doing, or even the price of gasoline. All these things are going to change. They're going to change. And we lament the fact that in this recent election, they voted, like you said, on a personality and failed to vote in their own self-interest. So how do you get around that? You start showing people plainly how this is going to impact their pocketbook.
And we are dedicated to searching for truth and clarity on this show. So be sure and tell your friends about this as well. But I do want to go back to this quote by Lincoln, where it says that the money power of the country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudices of the people. So when people say, I hate the man, that's exactly what was going on, Lauren.
Yep. It's insane to me how, like Steve said, you can go back that far and see something going on that someone as renowned as Lincoln saw, and here we are, you know.
It's like deja vu all over again.
Yeah, it's history repeating itself.
I know.
And, you know, people come out in the last 4 years and say, oh, Trump is so unpresidential, and I just go ballistic. I said, wait a minute. All right, so Barack Obama, he acted more presidential, and they'll say, yeah. I said, all the while he was, you know, giving it to you in ways that you weren't watching. But yeah, he was presidential, all right.
Well, he was presidential. Well, because I talk about this all the time. Let me get back to my quote on that so I have that. It's never compassionate to take other people's rights, property, freedom, or livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, or fear. And it's thievery, no matter which way you do that. And so if somebody is fleecing you and smiling at you, I guess, I don't know what to say, but I really would prefer that you don't have that person fleece me on that as well. So anyway, we looked at this. We could go through 50 pages. That was just the first page of the Trump accomplishments. And I tell you what, everyday people like that extra $6,000 in their pocket. And that's probably going to be disappearing through both taxation and then rules and regulations that will increase the cost of many things. I think we'll go ahead and go to break. Before we do that, though, I get to work with these really amazing partners like Lauren Levy, who's in studio, as well as Hal Van Herke, who will be in studio tomorrow with Castlegate Knife and Tool. And Castlegate Knife and Tool is a family-owned business. They're located in Sedalia, Colorado, and they have a wider range of product. Whether or not you're a collector, a sportsman, or a chef, they have just the knife for you. And they're adding in this very cool three different lines of watches. And check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Lauren Levy is in studio. We'll talk with Tom Petrie in segments 3 and 4. This is our Health and Hydrocarbon Show. And I know what I was going to say, Steve. You came in after our Martin Luther King, or our show on Martin Luther King Day, and there was a quote that Martin Luther King Jr. had said, that darkness cannot overcome darkness, only light can overcome darkness. And we realize energy, it brings us light, it brings us heat, it overcomes the cold. And that's why affordable, reliable, efficient, and responsible energy has helped us make our lives better. And people across the globe want that. And it seems like we would want that for them, too, if we care about them. So we're going to go to break. When we come back, Lauren Levy's in studio, and I've got a story I want to share with you.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thrilled to have in studio with me one of my great partners of the Kim Munson Show, and that's Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group. And before we went on the air, you'd mentioned that there's some questions that might be occurring, some things regarding the Biden administration. Why don't you give us a quick recap on that?
Yeah, so I was reading this morning on my way in that there's some talk about him wanting to create more affordable housing opportunities, especially for first-time home buyers, which might juice the market a little bit and help home ownership. But what we have, and Karen Levine has talked about this, we have a massive inventory problem.
Challenge, yeah.
We just don't have enough homes, and so their answer would be to build a bunch of single-family homes, probably clustered more like condos and type things like we've seen, and try to give maybe a $15,000 credit was one thing I saw, like a tax credit that can be used right there at the down payment. And the question is, while trying to – you have Biden, who's a Democrat, coming in trying to help the first-time home buyer, but then he might be having to tiptoe around his environmental people – who want less sprawl. You know, they fight for less building and less construction because they don't want, you know, land to be used that way. And it'll be an interesting dichotomy to see which way pulls out, him trying to help the inventory and help first-time homebuyers and his environmental team pushing back at him on the other side. There's also, he was leaning more on FHA. You know, years ago when we had the recession, FHA loans went pretty bad. People lost their jobs and they couldn't make the payments. And the government's answer was to fine the big banks pretty heavy for making those loans. But
they had forced them to make those loans.
That's right. And then banks said, well, then fine, we won't do them.
Right.
And so the void got filled in like it always does. And it's been like independent banks making those loans. And now the government wants the big banks to make these loans again. So they want to entice them to do it. But the banks, they'll probably do it because they'll politely put it in a way that they need to. Mm-hmm. But they want reassurances that, you know, it's not going to be a dollar in and $2 out on fines down the road. Right.
And this will be going to big government and big business like each other.
That's right.
So we're going to see that. Yeah, stay tuned on that. We'll see what happens with interest rates. I think that's good, Steve. We'll have to figure out what six things we're going to be watching. But interest rates certainly are one of them. I wanted to share a story with you all. And many of you, I've shared this in many different speeches. But I just wanted to share a story that really, I think, celebrates the American spirit. And when I went to Normandy in 2016 with a team that took accompanied four D-Day veterans back to Normandy for the 72nd celebration of the D-Day landings, it was really a life-changing experience. And the people of Normandy and of Belgium and the Netherlands, they still revere these guys, because these guys came up and freed them from the tyranny of Hitler and the Nazis. And so one of the things that we got to, and they treat these guys, Lauren, like rock stars. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
As they should.
We should do that, too. We should be teaching it in our schools here, too. So anyway, one of the celebrations that they have, I guess if that's the right word, is at the Fields of La Fierre. What Hitler had done is he had actually flooded many of the pastures, because he anticipated, he knew the Allies were going to attempt to make a landing, and the paratroopers coming in first, many of them with those 70-pound packs, when they jumped in, they jumped into these flooded pastures, and they drowned. I did not know that. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
And so there is always a big paratrooper jump at the Fields of La Fierre, and it is pretty amazing to see all these planes come in. It's a big honor for American military personnel to be chosen to jump at La Fierre, and then there's a lot of reenactors. So it's pretty amazing to see these planes come in and these paratroopers jump out, and it's just a pretty amazing thing to see. And it's hard to probably imagine, Lauren.
It is. I mean, you picture any parade or any celebration you've been to, and or if you've seen, you know, the Navy fighter pilots fly over, how cool it is. And I'm just picturing that on a massive scale.
It was massive. And I'm even getting chills as I'm talking about it. So there's a big viewing stand where all of the VIPs and all the World War II veterans were. And since we were with them, we got to hang out there. And one of our friends, Ralph Peters, who I've had on the show, he's from the Netherlands, and he was accompanying us. He came over and goes, Kim, come here. There's a German POW here, and he wants to tell our guys his story. And I said, okay. And he wanted Ralph to translate for him. And the story went like this. He said, I was on the beaches of Omaha that morning when the Allies came across the channel. And, of course, there were boats and planes, and he said, we knew that we were in for it. And he said firefights ensued, and he said that he was getting to, I think he needed ammunition, but he had his carbine with him, and he said, I saw this young American soldier come up on the beach, and I pulled out my carbine, or I had my carbine, and I pointed it at him, and I pulled the trigger, and I hit him right in the stomach. And this young American soldier went down on his knees, and he took his helmet off, and he fell down face first, and then he turned over, and he made the sign of the cross, and he died. And he said, at that moment, it changed my life. He said that all I'd ever known was Hitler, that Hitler was, we were taught that Hitler was God, that Hitler was everything. And he said, I looked at that and I realized here was this young soldier who had come across a big ocean to fight for something, to fight for liberation for people that were under tyranny, that were under extreme conditions. He was fighting for liberty. And I realized that there was something more. And so at that point, I deserted. I eventually was captured and was eventually sent to Siberia, where we were sent out on missions that we probably weren't supposed to survive. And here I am 72 years later, and I want to let you know that that last action by that young American GI changed my life. And my point on this Lauren, is we never know, but one person standing up for truth, standing up for justice, and we just never know what one person can do, and it changed that guy's life, and I think it's an amazing story.
I agree. That's unbelievable. You wonder how many lives that American saved by having the other guy back off and, you know, have that come to Jesus moment or whatever, and
I know,
not shoot at any other ones.
I know. It was amazing. So let's jump over here to Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. I know that you have a heart for our veterans, and I hope you enjoyed that story.
Yes, very, very good. There's almost no veteran story I don't enjoy, Kim.
I know. What's the futures doing today, Jason McBride?
Doesn't seem like anything out of the ordinary. Yesterday, the market had small gains, and this morning the Dow futures are up about 93 points. We do have some movement today in a couple of the Chinese stocks. Alibaba, which is a huge one, is moving up because their founder, or the guy that started it, Jack Ma, you may have heard of him, he had made some critical comments about the Chinese regulators and the government, and he hadn't been seen since October, and some people thought he might be dead or maybe in a re-education camp, like the ones are threatening to send us Trump supporters to, something similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
But he appeared today, so he's alive and well, and maybe he's been taught to think correctly. So that stock is moving up pretty strongly this morning.
Oh, most interesting. And you said there was one other one. Which other Chinese stock?
There's another called JD.com, which is kind of an online retailer that's similar, also very strong. So a lot of the Chinese stocks have been much stronger in the last few days.
Interesting. I don't know what else to say about that. That is interesting. Yesterday, Jason, you mentioned things in people's portfolio that they might want to take a look at that might have some inflation risk. And then you said there's things that don't, like healthcare. As people get older, they may need to, kind of think about that. And you are a specialist in sitting down with people and talking with them about those things. And as we're looking into this this next phase, it would be important, I think, that people sit down and chat with you about that.
Yeah, I mean, having an accurate and thorough plan is, the first thing you can do to try and make sure that your investments and money and retirement and future is going to take you to the place that you want to go. Sometimes what could seem like fairly small mistakes can throw the numbers off by quite a ways down the road. So I think trying to be accurate in that upfront calculation is very important.
And what's the old saying? If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And so you want to plan for success. So Jason, how can people reach you?
Easily, give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600, or check us out on the web at presidentialwm.com.
Jason, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Kim.
Okay, we're going to go to break. This is our Health and Hydrocarbons show, and Tom Petrie, who is a oil and gas investment banker, is going to give us an update on the energy markets. I tell you, I like light when it's dark. I like heat when it's cool, and responsible, affordable, reliable, and efficient hydrocarbons do that. And so we'll be chatting with him about that. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is in studio with me as well. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, kimmunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter, and you can do that at the website. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. This is our Health and Hydrocarbon Show. And I tell you what, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, I like light when it's dark. I like heat when it's cold. I like energy.
I'm with you. And, you know, I know I'm in the mortgage business, but I'm an investor as well, and I have positions in oil and gas and sure would like them to do well.
That's for sure. Tom Petrie with Petrie Partners. You are an expert regarding our energy markets. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Kim. Good to be here.
Well, and you and I did a pre-call yesterday, but I think it's important that people understand. I think we've taken the oil and gas industry for granted. And when I say I like light when it's dark and heat when it's cold, I'm not unique. People across the globe really would appreciate that as well. And hydrocarbons, fossil fuels, have made people's lives better. Tom Petrie.
I couldn't agree more. You know, we're talking about a population on the planet now of just over 7.5 billion people. And somewhere close to a billion to a billion and a half of those people live in abject poverty. Lifting them out of that poverty and improving their life, their lives, their safety, their welfare, really does require greater energy inputs to their method of living. That's been the story of energy in the last century plus involving fossil fuels. We are in a period where there's an interesting combination. One, a tendency to take it for granted, as you say, but also a tendency to allocate maybe excessive blame to fossil fuels relative to climate change. And it's not to, I'm not a denier. I wouldn't say that there's no contribution. But this industry has both the ability and, I think at this point, inclination to help address the issues of climate change. And at the same time, let's make sure we don't go overboard in extending the period of poverty for the bottom billion to a billion and a half people who still need higher energy content in their lives to climb out of that poverty.
Well, and even when we look at the United States, when we talk about poverty, for people that are on the lower end of the economic scale, and we want people to be able to be upwardly mobile on that, one of the ways to do that, again, is by affordable, reliable, and efficient energy. Steve and I were talking when we were doing our pre-call on my way in that, and it's because of policy, out in California, gas per gallon is over $4 a gallon. And that really affects people that are, you know, want to get to work, that, you know, I think they would really prefer their own vehicle to do that. It seems to be safer and more efficient. But that really affects the person on the bottom rungs of the economic ladder versus those at the top, Tom.
It certainly does. And there's a certain shallowness to some degree in some of the drive to push us very quickly toward the electrified transportation grid, if you will. They almost never do I see or hear in those who advocate that the notion that we're still generating electricity with coal and putting it then into electric vehicles and proudly talking about the zero emissions of electric vehicles. Now, we're making progress toward changing that. And a big part of that progress is natural gas, where the chemistry of methane argues much in favor of natural gas versus coal. But the cost of coal is such that its full abandonment has not yet been achieved and is probably not going to be achieved in the time frames people are talking about achieving fully electrified, a fully electrified grid.
Tom, that brings up one other thing, that the point that I want to make, and Patty, our researcher, found this. I'm trying to find the headline, though. But the head of Toyota just recently said that he doesn't see that it makes as much sense as people try to portray regarding electric vehicles, because it's going to put more and more demand on the electric grid. And as you mentioned, electricity is still... based on fossil fuels, but the more and more demand, and we're using government control through regulations and policy to do that, pushing towards this electric grid, looks to me like it could be a real problem for everyday people eventually.
There are real bottlenecks that can and will occur. We hear a lot about we can solve this problem. Even the job problem that's associated with it, because as our about to be inaugurated president says, there's going to be lots of high-paying jobs in solar and wind to replace those jobs that might be eliminated in the fossil fuel industries. For that transition to be orderly, we have to be careful not to have it be so precipitous that in fact the matchup or the streamlining, if you will, of that transition that people talk about is really more myth than reality. I worry about that.
Well, on my way in, free markets, people vote in free markets. And you can see when I drive in early in the morning that people are voting with their... with how they move about. And so there's cars on the road. I'm come up to a stoplight. There's cars next to me. People like that, and they're voting with that. That's the decision that they're making. And I was a bit astonished to look over at a light rail train, and there, instead of two empty cars, there were four empty cars. And then I saw three different double buses, and two of them were empty, and one of them had three people on it. And I just thought, you know, this is the free market. People are saying, I want to travel this way, but we see planners and government and say, no, 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 we want to have this for people to travel that way. Let's let people make their choice, Tom. I know we didn't really talk about this yesterday, but I really think that's important, free choice on this.
I couldn't agree more. I when I come home or go in, I cross the light rail line, and I've yet to see anything approaching half full. And in fact, more often than not, I've seen the same thing you've just described. So think about what the emissions are associated with the forms of transportation, and remember the per capita emission. So we've fallen into the trap of thinking, well, build it and they will come. And that may work from baseball stadiums, but it doesn't necessarily work on light rail. And I don't think we really do the post-building accountability that is required to figure out if this was a good idea or simply a make-work project that, as you say, people are not voting for with their feet.
And just one other thing, and Lauren, do you have any comments that you want to make on this?
I'm not sure how much it applies. I have two quick thoughts. Number one, okay. I think when you think of electric vehicle, I think of some mom or dad at Highlands Ranch that has a home that can plug in. I don't understand how inner city folks will have the capacity if everyone's got an electric vehicle to plug in somewhere. They barely even have a place to park. And the infrastructure for them to all plug in at night, that's one thing. And then number two, it seems like the light rail type situation, when they don't have a car, you're limiting that person's ability to get to work to somewhere along that line of where the trains run, when the perfect job for them might be 5 miles off that train rail, and they need a car to get to that job. It seems like you're limiting them to taking a position that might not be right just because it's accessible by the train.
Oh, that's an excellent thought. Tom, what's your comments on that?
I think he's right on with that. The way there are rigidities in the system, and that's why letting people make their individual decisions and then opening up that market for those decisions to kind of dictate the outcomes rather than predetermine the outcomes and then hope to force behavior into it. I would just add to that on the inner city, what we're doing, we certainly have a program to make sure that the flexibility of our roadways now are so much more accommodative to bicycles and pedestrians and so on, that we've also further complicated the individual choice available on automobiles. So how much we do this, how far we want to go with it, how much we want to introduce these rigidities to the system is a good question to be asking on a continuous basis as we remake our transportation grid.
Rigidity is typically kind of sounds to me like a force word. Tom, before we go to break, though, when we talk about affordable, reliable, efficient energy and then freedom of mobility, I think they're both closely associated. I think about, like this morning, 5:30 in the morning, a mom, a single mom's getting ready to go to work. And first of all, as Lauren mentioned and you just agreed to, is that if she's only on light rail, then she doesn't have as many options for employment. And more options is good, as a good thing for her. But also standing on a train platform or at a bus stop in the dark, there's danger in that. And I know that she would appreciate, once again, the safety of her own personal vehicle. Tom, your thoughts on that before we go to break?
Absolutely. And the, where we do have flexibility developing is in a range of those vehicles, such that they can be more affordable, more flexible to get around, and then to deal with career changes when they come, and deal in an effective way with career changes to accommodate whatever the change in transportation needs are.
Okay, well, Tom Petrie, couldn't agree with you more. I think that's something we need to continue to focus on. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, another one of my great partners is Hooters Restaurants. They're located right here in the metro area. They have five locations: Lone Tree, Loveland, Aurora, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. Wednesday, as I mentioned earlier, is Wings Day. You can buy 20 wings and get 10 for free. They have all kinds of specials, to-go specials, lunch specials. For more information, go to HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. We'll be right back. Lauren Levy is in studio, and we've got Tom Petrie on the line.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter at Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. You just heard the spot for America's Veterans Stories show. I brought that over to KLZ at the beginning of the year. And we have a treat for you. World War II veteran, Iwo Jima Marine, Don Whipple. And he will be our guest on Sunday. So, and then of course Paula Sarles also, she is a Vietnam era Marine veteran as well. So be sure and check that out 3 to 4 on Sunday afternoon. Lauren Levy is in studio with me. He's a great partner of the show. He has a company, Polygon Financial Group. It's a mortgage specialist group. It's always great to have you here.
Thank you. It's great to be in.
And the time goes way too quickly.
It does.
And Tom Petrie is on the line. This is our health and hydrocarbon show. And reliable, efficient, affordable, and responsible energy helps everyday people live thriving, prosperous lives. And instead of limiting that, we should want that for more and more people. And that's why we do this show, is because I think that hydrocarbons, fossil fuels, they've been getting a bad rap, when in essence, they've really helped improve lives across the globe, Tom Petrie.
They certainly have. We're looking at something on the order of 5 million people employed in all aspects of that energy production. That's up meaningfully from what it was prior to the shale revolution. The shale revolution really has transformed America. We went into a long-term decline starting in the early 1970, 1971, and declined for the next the better part of the next three decades. But in the last decade and a half, as we reached critical mass in the shale revolution, the U.S. went from being producing less than 6 million barrels a day to now producing about 10.4, 10.5 million barrels a day. We're down from a peak because of lower prices as a result of the pandemic, a peak when we were at 13 million barrels a day and we were the largest producer of oil in the world a year ago at this time at that level. But even now, we're one of the top three producers in the world. And one of the most important issues, while we have an administration coming in today that wants to address climate change, and that's a worthy goal. It's not a goal that I would criticize, but how we go about that and avoid artificial time frames for achieving certain elements of that goal could adversely impact the tremendous benefits of the shale revolution. That growing from under 6 million barrels a day to almost twice that at today's levels and more than twice that at year-ago levels has been a tremendous benefit to us in terms of our competitiveness in the world economy, our trade balances improved, our job creation has been phenomenal.
Well, and the other thing about from a geopolitical standpoint is being energy independent makes us be stronger at negotiating tables. And it also means that we don't have to send our young men and women into harm's way.
It's exactly right. It certainly lowers the risk of the kind of interruptions that really drove much of our economy in the 70s with the Yom Kippur War and the Iranian Revolution. In the 80s, with the price collapse in the mid-80s because OPEC overreached, and certainly in the 90s when we had the invasion of Kuwait by Iraq, and then in 9/11, where the 9/11 and more recently the Arab Spring, all of those sources of insecurity that created energy disruptions or fear of energy disruptions. Are much more manageable propositions with the U.S. position as it is today, and hopefully will continue to be, even as we begin to see an elevated addressing of climate change as one of the top priorities of this administration taking office today.
Tom Petrie, Patty, my researcher, found this from the Wall Street Journal regarding the Keystone pipeline. And it looks like Joe Biden, I was looking at potential executive orders that he may issue today. One of those is to stop the building of the Keystone Pipeline. And what does that mean? I guess Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, has wanted to talk to Biden about that. And Justin Trudeau has instituted a number, I think, of climate change policies. But yet, now that it could affect the economy of Canada and everyday Canadians, he wants to talk about it. I find that interesting. What's your thoughts on that, Tom?
I agree with what you just said. Canada, this pipeline is more than half built, and to stop it at this point is really an extreme action to take. Furthermore, one of our most important trade partners is Canada. And are taking an action like this unilaterally and retroactively, in effect, is going to hurt us. we find, you know, as we deal with the challenges of our relationship with China, this creates an opening for China to have a rapprochement with Canada. And there have been a number of things that where Canada and the U.S. have been aligned in dealing with China. This, the second order effect of this kind of a action, if he chooses to take it, is going to complicate future relations between the U.S. and Canada, I would argue, unnecessarily.
Did you have a comment on that, Lauren?
No, I wasn't aware of that, actually, so that's interesting.
I hadn't thought about that either, Tom, that would create, because they're going to want to send that oil someplace, so they could probably ship it off the western coast then to China, correct?
They've got a big challenge. The reason that we're the preferred party is that the challenges they have with the First Nations, with the Native Canadian nations, has so far limited the infrastructure going west. There is some, and it can be expanded, but it's difficult. If we prove to be as difficult as we might be with this action on the Keystone Pipeline, and there's another pipeline in the upper Midwest also from Canada, and both of those are candidates, this anti-pipeline set of initiatives that the Democratic Party is behind, I think need to be much more carefully analyzed, not just for the concerns that they've raised about them, but also for the second-order effects of taking unilateral action when, in fact, a careful, objective assessment could lead to a different conclusion.
Okay. Tom Petrie, we've got about 4 minutes left. What do you see with this new administration regarding energy?
Well, energy is so closely linked to what they want to do on climate change that it's going to be a challenge. And I think one of the challenges that we may be underestimating right now is that we refer to the Democrats now in control of Congress. That notion should be examined a little bit more. The control of the Senate is largely shared unless and until a vote of the vice president is needed to break a tie. It's a 50-50 shared control right now, with some more moderate Democrats probably willing and maybe able to differ on certain threshold issues, Joe Manchin being a good example. And so I think as we see this advance, the climate change initiatives are going to be there. So the strong advocates are going to push hard, I think, pretty early on for a series of changes. And if we fail to understand the second-order consequences of climate change policy for our energy competitive advantage, I think we'll pay a price that we'll regret. And not too far down the road, I think within the time of a four-year presidency, the second-order effects could really become a drag on an economy at a time we don't need that.
Well, Tom Petrie, what can everyday people do about this? It seems a bit daunting.
Well, one, I think it is important to understand these consequences and provide feedback. Feedback to our politicians is critical. Right now, we've got a certain degree of this talk about deprogramming conservative thought. Where does that fit in to the notion of free speech? And where does that, how does that come about? So I think individuals really calling for limits on the idea of that we're going to deprogram different points of view when it's different points of view that may best inform sound decisions. And I think it's we're going to need that. And to some degree, this election, while it was a disappointment to some conservatives, the fact of the matter is, within Congress, it was also a disappointment to some Democratic leaders who didn't achieve nearly the goals they thought they would. And that was people voting with their feet even while the election of the president went a different way. And that's what makes this country great. is that we can actually have different points of view expressed, and out of that can come some surprising conclusions. And it's really important for people to listen to your show and others that put forth contrary conclusions or contrary assessments of reality. And then out of that, we get a better take on what good policy can be and should be.
Well, Tom Petrie, thank you so much. And my mom always said I was contrary. So there you go. So really appreciate this Healthy and Hydrocarbon show. It's important that you listeners get your brains around these important issues and then talk with your friends and your family and colleagues about that. So Tom Petrie, Petrie Partners, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, it's always great to have you in studio. And people should lock in a low interest rate right now.
I agree. And thank you. It's great to come in and do this.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
And our quote for today, and Tom Petrie, I think he pretty well nailed this. And this is Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln says, "I am a firm believer in the people. If given the truth, they can be depended upon to meet any national crisis. The great point is to bring them the real facts." And that's what we work on. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Young, like a new moon rising, fierce, through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.